Well, good afternoon, everyone. I hope everybody's here and present and ready. I wore my red tie, my power tie today. We'll see how good it does. How can I? What is a guide? Anybody know what a guide is? Anybody hired a guide? Talked to a guide? Used a guide? Read a guide? A guide can be a thing, but in this case we'll talk about a person. A person who advises or shows the way to others. In my line of work, I've dealt with many guides around the world who work in nature, events, destination, extreme sports, luxury accommodations, etc. You hire them, you fire them. Most people hire them because they want to survive whatever extreme or event that they're in, but they want to have a good time. All quality guides share common characteristics. They're ready when duty calls. They're prepared well ahead of the need. They are dependable because lives and possibly for most people, for a lot of people, expectations are in the balance. Let's take a look at two scriptures. I'd like to visit and look at their guiding principles and the guiding examples here. Philip and the eunuch. I'm assuming most people know that story. Philip, who proved himself very worthy as a deacon and ministering to the people in Samaria, after Saul went on a rampage and causing havoc around Jerusalem. He proved himself well. And the story that he was called, sent by an angel to meet a destination, and when he arrived at that destination, the Holy Spirit tells him, go up and talk to this man. If you all would please turn to Acts, chapter 8. And this story takes place between verses 26 and 40, but we're going to look at verses 30 through 35. And I'm going to read this from the ESV, or the English Standard Version. I like the way it mentions this. In verse 30, as we said, you know, Philip has been called to this place, sent to this location, and the Spirit said, go up and talk to this man. In verse 30, so Philip ran to him and heard him. Now the him in here is the Ethiopian eunuch who's sitting in his chariot. And he was reading the Isaiah, the prophet. And he asked, he being Philip asked, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch replies, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of scripture that he, the eunuch, was reading was this. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch turns to Philip and asks him, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? Himself or someone else? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. Philip became his guide. And he was just invited. He wasn't hired. And who knows what the eunuch's expectations were. He had just met this man. We could talk for probably 10 hours because Deb and I had, well, actually I've talked and she's listened a lot. No surprise there, right? But you could talk for a long time about the ramifications of Philip being here, who this eunuch was. He wasn't just some guy traveling along. This was a very important official. And he welcomes, and yes, the Holy Spirit had to play a part, but Philip had to be prepared to be a proper guide because lives were in the balance. Let's take a look at another very different but very much the same event. Mordecai and Esther. Now the story is, Esther is the queen of the king of Persia. Now his name, and I can never get this right, Ashtavashis or whatever you want to call him, in the Hebrew was Xerxes in Persian. One bad apple. Very good, big fighter. Has anybody ever heard of the 300 Spartans? That's who they were fighting. Xerxes and his army. This was Esther's husband. This is who she had to walk before. So, you know, here comes a situation. One of the guys in his court, guy by the name, you know, he's kind of like Baltimore. His name shall not be mentioned. Haman, who really didn't like Mordecai, and tricked the king into signing an edict to get rid of all the Jews. I mean, certain day, going to be gone. Haman was going to clean them slate clean and get rid of Mordecai. So, Mordecai put himself at the gates of the palace or to the city there, and ashes and, you know, crying and moaning and praying to God, as were many Jews across the nation. And when Esther found out this, she sent out a messenger, why are you doing this? He sends back the message, this is what's happened. She sends back a message saying that, you know, I can't just go up and talk to the king. I, you know, I might be the queen, but I haven't seen him for 30 days. He forgot who I was. And if you come in unannounced, it's curtains for you. You're gone. Mordecai, let us visit in verses 13 through 16. If you turn to Esther, chapter 4, it's the entire chapter tells a story, but we're focusing in on verses 13 and 16 through 16. Because this is what Mordecai tells Esther. Now, Esther is the queen of Persia. There were basically two favored wives who were considered queens, but Esther was the queen. And she was in a very top-line position. So if you wanted somebody on the inside, this is about as inside as you could get. Although they needed a little more inside. And that's the point of what Mordecai is going to tell his niece, Esther. Mordecai sends back this message to Esther when she says, I just can't go up there. She says, Mordecai told him in verse 13, chapter 4, or excuse me, yeah, chapter 4. Mordecai then told them to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that the king's palace, even though you're there, that you're going to escape any more than any of the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And here's the line that we all have heard, and it does put chills. And it should. I hope I add some more chills to it. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Mordecai was a guide. Esther was faltering. She was afraid. She wasn't sure what to do. Her uncle steps up to the plate, not only as her uncle, but a respected man in the Jewish community and a man whose neck was going to be separated in the next few days if she did not make a plea to the king. Esther then told Mordecai this reply. Go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa. That's the capital of the Persian kingdom. And hold fast on my behalf and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And I and my young women will fast as you do. Then I will go to the king. Though it is against the law, if I perish, I perish. She chose to follow the ultimate guide. She went to the master guide. She implored God. She sought a guide. Guide Rule 101. To be ready when duty calls, prepare now. Your life and others will depend on it. Guide 101. To be ready when duty calls, prepare not yesterday, not maybe sometime in the future, but right now. And every right now as we go forward, because each time you step forward, that is a right now. Your life and the lives of others will, not maybe, not possibly, will depend on it. So we ask, well, how can we? That's the other part of how do I? How can we? 3 points. Study to present yourself approved. 2 Timothy 3:15. Philip had already proven himself. He did a magnificent job with the other 6 who were sent to take charge of distributing funds and material, foods to the Gentile widows. He also went through Samaria. He preached. He baptized. He even had the little friend side partner for a while, Simon the sorcerer, who Peter had to have a discussion with. But he dealt with these things. And then immediately he's called by an angel sent by God. Hey, we want you to go to this place. He didn't go, well, where? He got up and went. Reminds us of Abraham, right? And when the Holy Spirit said, go talk to the man in the over there. He didn't, like, I don't know him. He went, he ran. He didn't just kind of walk. He ran. Even if the caravan was going, he still ran. His motion was he was excited. And the first thing he asked, do you know what you're reading? Do you understand? He offered himself immediately as a guide. Now, if you don't know anything about take it XYZ, mountain climbing, you going to offer yourself as a guide to go up a 16, 18, 20,000 foot, unless you've got a death wish? You better know what you're talking about. Granted, the Spirit would help him, no doubt. However, God is decent and in order in all things. So that meant, you know, Philip had to be prepared. And he was. Point 2, be available. Esther was afraid, understandably. But she had a guide. Her uncle Mordecai stepped in and gave her advice. He put it very plain to her, but she could have chosen to walk out, to step back and say, well, I can't do this. But she hearkened back to what she knew and she was trained. She besought God. in fasting and prayer. Not for her, but for God's people. And she did the right thing. And God answered. Now, as Mordecai told her, God's going to work this out no matter what you do. But you have right now the opportunity to be a guide. And she was prepared not only from her background, but she listened to her Uncle Mordecai. So she was prepared. Be present and available. Heed reproof and correction. Be ready to move in whatever direction God wishes, and then leave it to God. There are a lot of guides who have gotten a lot of people injured and killed because they went on their ego. I know. And someone else makes a question about, well, you can't question me. Listen. Point number three. God is the master guide. God directed Philip to write to the place where he wanted him to be. And no doubt he inspired him, because Christ told the disciples, go out. He sent them out. He says, don't worry about what to say. The Spirit will guide you. But he trained them before he sent them out too. And they would get more training later on. Because that's what happens. You go out and you get some boots on the ground experience. And you're like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. It did help me out here. So they come back, they talk it over, go out again. You get better with experience. Philip was prepared. God worked a miracle through Philip. You know, start counting them. Or several in that incident. That's just an absolutely fascinating story. Please read it. Study it. God set Esther to be the person as queen of influence on the greatest king, the greatest power on the face of the earth at that time. And until Alexander the Great knocked his throne down, he was the greatest. She chose to respond. Not to her own wishes, not to her fears. She responded to her uncle's guidance. And then she sought God in the best way. She prepared. She went to God and trusted God. Master guides take training. No matter what it is, you want to become a master guide. You can do this in a number of different arenas all over the place. Something costs you a lot, but mostly takes a lot of time. And you have to prove yourself. And there's tests. And you have to score high. Most of the case, you have to score 80 to 85, even 90% on the test to get a master guide. And most people fail. God is the master guide we don't have to worry about, because we can go to him. We can seek his guidance and direction. But that's the key. It's not by fiat. It doesn't just happen. We have to take an active role to seek it. To be good guides, to be competent guides, to be trustworthy guides, we have to go in and seek from the master guide. Follow the master at all times. All right, let's bring it down to the boots on the ground. How can I, unless someone guides me? Who were you sent by God today to talk to? Who are you sent today to be talked to? Each and every day that we wake up and we enter life, we engage people. Our spouse, our children, our parents, our friends, our family, our coworkers, the every guy, Joe and Jane on the street. We encounter people, and we are called to be lights of the great master. Tony Picchielli gave a very good sermonette on a lighthouse, a guide. But how good is your lighthouse going to be directing a ship into a safe harbor if you turned your light off? or if you put a faulty bulb in, or I forgot to replace the bulb. Are we prepared? Are we competent, prepared guides? That's the question. Lives hang in the balance.